The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com. The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to the Uppity Hunter Stories. Now welcome your host, Jenny Polly, and his lovely wife, Tracy. I hear she's a lovely girl.
How about that for a joyous opening?
Welcome, everybody.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 25 of Hillbilly Horror Stories. And, of course, I've got Tracy with me.
Hey, guys. How are you today?
This is going to be, without a doubt, the most controversial show we've done. Now, every other show we've done, obviously, it's just been, hey, this is a story about the Bell Witch, or this is the true story of The Exorcist, or some opinions on rock and roll, that type of thing. This show is going to be different because what we're going to talk about tonight are the Freemasons and what are they actually. We know what everybody thinks they are. We know what the in general idea of. We see the cute little Shriners running around with their little fez hats, and we see people talking about the Masons and they've got their ring on, or we go to a funeral and they've got the G and the compass and the square there, and several Masons coming by. And everybody just thinks it's like a fraternity or something like that. And what we're going to talk about tonight is the proposed, declarations of several Freemasons that it's not what you think it is.
Yeah, I'm a little bit surprised myself.
Yeah, so I have done probably more research for this show than any show, just because when you're going to talk about a subject that stands to piss a lot of people off or turn a lot of people away, you want to try to have your facts together as much as possible. So what we will do tonight is what we always do. We're going to give you our opinions, but we're going to base a lot of this in fact. And I think you're going to find it very interesting. As I've said before, I've mentioned this show since the beginning of the podcast that I wanted to do it. I kept putting it off and putting it off and putting it off because every time I started to do it, somebody would talk me out of it. Oh, you can't talk about that. That's just crazy. You're going to piss a lot of people off. That's just a subject to stay away from. But you know what? What we do here is we try to have fun, and I think we do have fun. But sometimes you got to be serious. And I'm not saying we won't laugh and joke a little bit tonight, but I think this is a serious subject, and I think a lot of people will be enlightened by this broadcast tonight.
Well, let's hope so anyway.
Let's keep the death threats to a minimum. My inbox is already full.
Oh, my gosh. We
do want to start off with a couple of fun things, obviously, before we get going. Let's start with some shout-outs, and then we're going to read a story. We've got some a couple of cool stories by the same person that I want to read you, and I think you'll find it interesting. It's really nothing to do with what we're talking about, but I thought it was fun. I can just tell you, everybody's talking about they want longer shows, and I got a feeling this is going to be probably the longest one we do. So let's just sit back and enjoy. So let's take the first shout-out. Let's butcher this name. It's Vanixa Zadi from Pakistan, Kuyamo J from the Philippines, Robert Meyer from Indiana, Albert Sandoval from Texas. Albert sent us a nice email. Thanks for that, Alberto.
Thanks, guys.
Looks like Brita Willis from Chicago and Sarah Orozco. Now, Sarah actually is the one who sent us the emails that we're going to read. And as soon as I can get my iPad cooperating.
Thank you guys for listening. We really are appreciative of your continued support.
Yeah, you guys are awesome. Speaking of continued support, I've had a lot of people ask about T-shirts and what kind of merchandise we have. And the store we had on our website, let's be honest, it was just screwed up. It never really worked right. I took the time to personally redo all that myself this weekend. I am in complete control of the shirts now. And what I did was I put together 13 shirts. Each one's available in black. Each one's available in white. Go to our website. You can see what's available. You can pay for it. Click the button. Pay for it through PayPal, and I'll have it shipped to your house. So it's that simple. You know, it's the other stuff. Like I said, it was very confusing. There was too much clutter on there, and I think you guys will enjoy this a lot more. So if you want to help the show and show some support, you can buy a T-shirt, and that helps get the word out, and it also gives us a little bit of money off of it to help put towards the show. The other thing we added to the website. And you see a lot of shows doing this. They ask for monthly donations and they give you extra, you know, podcasts or extra videos, that type of thing. And we're not against that, but I'd rather not do that type of thing. So what I did was I just put a donate button on there. There's a section of the website that says donate. If you guys want to donate, you can. If you don't, that's fine too. But it helps us offset the cost, but you can put any dollar amount in there. You're not obligated to $5 a month or $10 a month or anything like that. If you want to do a dollar one time and that's it, that's great with us. And like I said, we know times are tough for everybody. And if it's not something you can do, sit back and enjoy the show like everybody else. We're not going to hold it against you. We still love everybody.
No, not at all. We love you guys.
Okay, so let's read this story from Sarah. It's actually two stories, and normally I wouldn't do that, especially since these are a little bit long, but I thought these were really interesting stories, and I think it will offset the rest of the stuff we talk about. Sarah, I'm going to try not to screw this up too much, but you wrote this in kind of a font that's like almost like a script, and my eyes are bad as it is, so let me give this out. So this one says, my first encounter happened when I was about 10 years old. Way before any of the Slender Man stories ever came out. I'm in my mid-30s now. My mother was very sick when I was young, and after a while I began to sleep with her in her room, and it helped her out at night. We slept in the master bedroom located in the very back of our home. We also left the back bedroom window open to let the breeze in at night, as we would fall asleep listening to old-timey radio shows. These were wonderful memories for me until one night. We lived right behind a large man-made creek. That was fun to play in during the day, but it was scary as hell as night. Nothing lay behind us but more creeks, and in the distance, another development of homes. As we lay halfway asleep, we began to hear the voice of a child, a little girl to be exact, whispering at first for us to let her in, saying someone was following her. I know, you're thinking black-eyed kids, right? Truth be told, we never saw her face. Again, this was all in late 80s. Nothing had ever been mentioned before. Her pleas became more persistent and louder, begging for us to let her in. My mother and I soon realized it was coming from the window and not the radio. She yells to the girl to run to the front of the house, and she would call the police for her. My mom then tells me to turn on the light, and yells for my dad to head to the door. I ran with my dad to the side of the house and had an entrance. We had an entrance that led to the backyard. We were sure we would find her stuck there, since the door was locked and too high to climb over and get to the front door, but no girl. So, we run to the front door of the house. Police is on the phone line. Open the door, no girl. From the back of the house, we hear my mom scream. So, we run towards, you know, her thinking the girl or the thing following her is now trying to get in the house window. As we reach her, we find her slowly rocking back and forth on the bed, praying and pointing out the window to the creek. Mind you, the creek lay below our homes, a good 10 to 15 feet down. Standing in the distance in the creek at eye level with us above, we saw two dark red bright eyes that shone bright in the dark. Because of the glow, we could easily make out a head and shoulders. But Father quickly slammed the window shut and brought us all into the living room to sleep that night. They prayed all night long, I remember. What that thing was, I'll never know. But guys, it was a huge, thin, and slender.
Well, I'd like to know how they even slept at night. There's no way I could have done that. That's creepy.
I also want to point out that Alberto and Sarah both pointed out that they are token Mexican listeners.
Oh, yay! So, that's great.
So she started this off, and I know this is her trying to be funny, as parte dos. I know my Spanish. That's number two.
That's number two?
Yeah. Doce.
Doce?
Yeah.
All no, I know.
Doce is 12.
Oh.
It's uno, dos, tres.
Cuatro, cinco, seis.
Anyways.
The only thing I know is hola, ¿cómo está? And that sounds terrible because I got a twang. But that's okay. That's all I know, though.
I'm sure nobody Hispanic out there understood a thing that you just said.
No? Oh.
No. Anyway, here's the second story. Fast forward to a few years later, my husband, child, and I move into our new home near White Rock Lake in Dallas, Texas.
This is still Sarah, right?
This is still Sarah.
Okay.
We live in a little community on a cul-de-sac surrounded on one side by a large, you got it, a creek. We are night owls and prefer to grocery shop or watch midnight movies mostly because after my parents passed, I developed severe anxiety. One of these said nights, we were headed home from driving around the lake, which is also pretty haunted. We take midnight drives looking for the lady in white. That night, the air was different, thicker than normal. But of course, no lady in white. As we turned to pull into our garage, child asleep in the back seat, the garage door stalls and sputters. Our garage is in an alleyway directly connected to the creek. In front of the creek, there used to be a huge tree that split in two, and the trunk, we often joked, looked like two huge dead arms reaching from a grave. Very visible in the dark, because there was a light post nearby that lit up the back of the area all the time. So as we are stalled, I looked towards the tree and realized after a minute something was very wrong. It was very dark, and I could not see the tree at all. As I gazed upwards, I began to notice long pointed fingers that led up long, thin black arms, thin shoulders, and large oblong head. Blacker than the night, taller than the huge tree ever was, completely shrouding the tree in darkness. I froze and couldn't catch my breath. I finally grabbed my husband's arm to hurry in the house. The body seemed to be moving toward us. My husband says he saw nothing, but because of the fear I displayed the following night, he decides to ease my mind. He's going to go driving us back to the very back part of the alley to see if there was any evidential information that could explain what I saw. He didn't believe me, of course, but as we were driving along the alleyway creek side, he noticed the pavement by the tree seemed to be burned or black all around the tree as if it had been on fire, but the tree was fine. As we continued driving, talking about what we saw, something huge crashes into the side of our car on the driver's side coming from the creek. We stop the car, get out thinking we hit a dog or something, and there's nothing there. We walk around the car to inspect the damage because the crash was so hard, the car shook with us, and it looked like felt like it was about to flip. No, not one scratch. Needless to say, he believes me now. We hightailed it home. I don't think we drove out late at night for quite a while after that. Consequently, my son experienced none of this, but for weeks after, he would wake up early in the morning, 2 to 3 a.m., saying a large dark man was tapping at his window for him to open it up.
Yeah. So
that's freaky.
That is creepy, yeah. So I guess that followed them, whatever, that Slender Man.
Who knows? Ugh, and we're going to do a show on the actual Slender Man phenomenon, but I'm waiting until the two girls have their court dates and all that stuff that's involved and try to include that in it. So, Tracy's looking at me like I'm crazy because she don't follow this stuff like I do.
But I guess I'm out of that loop.
Completely
on that
out of the loop.
Oh.
But we're going to do a Slender Man show somewhere down the line, and I was talking to Sarah about that on email when she sent me these stories. But like I said, I am waiting because for those of you who don't know, two girls, I think 14 years old roughly, stabbed one of their friends in a because they said that they thought the Slender Man would like that. It would that would impress him.
And now they've got court dates, and there's some stuff that happened, I think, 2 weeks ago with their attorneys that's prolonging it. But when it's all said and done, hopefully we'll have some answers to that to add to it. So that's what I'm holding
out
for.
That's interesting.
So speaking of interesting, let's talk about this Freemason stuff. I think we'll start off with me saying the same thing I've said on a couple other shows. I like to bring facts to the table. So just because this is what I'm saying doesn't mean I wholeheartedly always believe it. I will say in this case I do, though. I do believe everything that I'm going to tell you tonight. And because...
Can this be the one you don't believe?
No.
Dang it.
No. And the reason I say that is I've actually been looking at this information and kind of studying on this way before there was ever a podcast. This was probably 2 or 3 years ago when I first got turned onto this. So I have watched and read so much on it in the last couple of years. But the reason that I didn't want to do it, obviously, is because it does rub a lot of people the wrong way. And there's nobody doing a show on this. I guarantee if you look at all the other paranormal shows, I seriously doubt that anybody's done one on this because most people are afraid to tackle the subject. I personally am not afraid to tackle the subject. I think if it's something that people are interested in, they should know about it. And I think you guys are the type of listeners that want to know about these things just by some of the topics we've touched on and some of the reviews you guys have sent us. You'd like that we tackle different subjects, so this one's for you guys. How about that? Let's talk about the Illuminati. Most of you out there know about the Illuminati. You've got an idea of what the Illuminati is. If you don't, the Illuminati is basically a universal network of secret societies that they try to bring an Antichrist kingdom known as the New World Order. What is the New World Order? Let's just touch on that briefly. New World Order is something years and years and years ago, we're talking hundreds of years ago over in England, they didn't like the whole kings, the whole religion, the whole the queens and kings and knights and all that ruling the country. So a bunch of people that were really smart got together and said, hey, we need to get rid of all this, but we can't just come out openly and say we're going to abolish Christianity and we're going to abolish Judaism and get rid of kings and queens and all that because we'll basically be killed just because of talking about it. So they formed secret societies, and those secret societies were set to be able to accomplish all these things without anybody knowing that it was going on. So that's the whole thing. But New World Order was to abolish all the religions and just start over. That's the basics of it. The Freemasons are a big part of this social network. Matter of fact, they're near the top of the hierarchy. They've been around for a long time. What are the Freemasons? So the Freemasons, we'll just say this. From the very top of the Freemasons, there's 33 degrees. Most people join the Freemasons, and they go through the first 3 degrees. It's called the Blue Lodge. They go through the first 3 degrees, and that's as far as they go. Well, the upper echelons, we're talking the 30th degree, 31st, 32nd, they start teaching them a little more details. For example, every time you go into a degree of the Freemasons, let's take the first, when you walk in, this is what they do to you when you first go in, and tell me what this sounds like to you. It's a little bit like a fraternity, but a lot more secretive. So when you go in, and keep in mind, this is just males. They don't allow females, and there's a good reason for that. We'll get into in a little bit. You go in, and the first thing that they do is make you strip down. Strip down to your underwear. If you have a wedding ring, if you've got a crucifix, any type of jewelry, they make you take it off. They ask you if you believe or what type of God you believe in. Not if you believe in God, what type of God do you believe in?
So, well, they ask you, like, are you Christian?
No, they ask specifically, what type of God do you believe in?
Okay.
Or do you believe in a God?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter which one. You cannot be an atheist and join the Freemasons. Now, everybody in the Freemasons will tell you it's not a religious society. Why is it not a religious society? Because they don't care what God you believe in as long as you believe in a God. They want that ability to believe.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're looking for. So you go in, they strip you down. They then put a noose around your neck.
Oh, that sounds fun already.
They lead you to the front door of the lodge to where you have to knock 3 times. Then you come in. Now, I don't have to tell a lot of you that knocking three times is supposed to be mocking the Holy Trinity. That's why demons, if you hear, or you are alone in your house and you hear a knock three times, there's nobody around, most times that's going to be a demon, and that's their mocking the Holy Trinity. That's why they knock three times. So here we go back to this. They knock three times. They let you in. They take you up to the altar to where the grand person is of the lodge.
The grand poobah.
Well, it's not the poobah, but it's similar. They take you up to him, and you kneel before him. Now, I forgot to mention this. You're actually blindfolded during this. So they blindfold you and put a noose on, so you don't see any of this. You kneel before him, and he asks you if you are ready, or he says he's got somebody there that is ready to come out of the darkness and into the light. Now, keep in mind, if you're a Christian already, especially if you're a born-again Christian, and you feel like that you're in the light of Jesus Christ, this goes against everything that you believe, because he's now saying that you're coming out of the darkness and into the light. He then takes a sharp object. In most cases, it's a sword. He pokes you in your left chest enough where you can feel it. And he says that if you have to take an oath, that if you ever tell any of the secrets of the Masonic Lodge, that death is upon you. They even make you take your thumb and go from one, you know, your throat from one ear to the other, making a slashing motion, that you agree to do this. If you break this oath, they want you to feel that pain on a regular basis, and you can look to be killed. Is this serious? Is this something that they believe in? Absolutely. Why do I say that? Because the guy who actually started the Mormons, which was Joseph Smith. He was actually killed by the, what are we talking about, Masons? He was Mormons and Masons.
Oh, yeah.
But he actually did some of the symbolism, the hand gestures in church at the Mormon, and he was killed for it.
No kidding.
And this is a guy who started a religion.
Damn, nobody's safe.
Yeah, they don't like to play. Now, the only way you can become a Mason is you have to have somebody suggest you be a member. And then once you go through the meetings and everything, there's a vote. Yeah, there's a white ball, white marble that's a yes vote, mm-hmm. and a black stone or a black marble that they use if you don't get, and that's where the term blackballed came from.
So you just can't walk up and say, hey, I want to be...
No.
No way, huh?
No, somebody pretty much has to bring you and do it. Now, what the Masons tell you is they're going to give you information that religions can't give you. Mm-hmm. What they're going to give you is this divine knowledge that nobody other than the Masons have. And each time you step up in degree, they're going to give you more information, because there's no possible way you can be ready for what they give you right off the bat. So they had to give it to you in small doses, basically.
Well, then, I don't know if I'm putting the cart before the horse, but why does most people only get to the third degree?
It's not that only people get to the third, they just kind of get to the third and stop.
But why?
I don't know.
I mean, so there's like a fourth, a fifth, a sixth,
there's
on
a 30, the 33. And 32nd is the kind of the pinnacle, because the 33rd degree is more for honors, mm-hmm. and honorable mentions. It's more of an honorary type thing. So 32nd is the most. When you become a 32nd, you can actually become a Shriner.
But even if you're a 3, you're still in.
You're a Mason, but you don't know anything. Because here's
the
deal.
What's the point of
that? Well, because here's the deal. The point of that is not everybody. Let's think of it. Let's think of this as a major company. Let's say you work for GE, mm-hmm. okay, and you're making washers on an assembly line. Do you really need to know about what the heads of GE are doing about a sale over in Japan or the mm-hmm. stock? You don't really need to know that. And all they really need for you to do is build the washers or, mm-hmm. or the dryers or whatever they're doing.
It makes sense when you say it like that.
And that's kind of the way this is. That's why one of the symbolisms is a pyramid. You got the people at the very top, the mm-hmm. hierarchy, and the people at the bottom. And the people at the bottom are just designed to do what they need you to do. That's why, you know, this whole thing about being a satanic cult or a paganistic cult, you'll hear it called two different things for reasons. But the people on the lower level, and this is why I don't want people to get too upset. You know, your dad might have been a Mason, or your grandpa might have been a Mason, but you know what? If they only got to the third or fourth or fifth level, they don't know any of this stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, the head guys that we're going to talk about here in a little bit, they planned it like that. I mean, they specifically said in their books that the people on the lower levels were kept ignorant on purpose, because if they knew what they would eventually be, you know, facing, or if they knew what eventually they were going to be getting to, they would probably just walk and quit.
Yeah.
So they don't want them to do that. The Masons preach about being a better person, mm-hmm. about making yourself a better man. That's why a lot of men join up. They think it's like mm-hmm. a Christian,
yeah.
you know, fellowship thing. I'm not going to cut that out. That's how real we are. I'm not even going to cut out the cough. But, you know, by stepping them up one level at a time, they can slowly brainwash them. That's what it boils down to. Mm-hmm. And they want you to have that belief in some type of a God, like I said, to see you that you do believe. But then they're going to slowly start stripping that from you and put in their own beliefs.
So if, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt
you. No, you're fine.
But so once they do kind of get up there and start knowing things, I mean, are they allowed to quit? Are they allowed to leave?
When you're in, you're in.
Oh.
When so you're like, in, you're in.
Okay.
Obviously, they communicate with symbols and handshakes, that type of thing. The symbols we're going to get into a little bit later. But there's a lot of, if you go online and just look, there's all kinds of awesome videos in this, and there's all kinds of pictures of handshakes. Like mm-hmm. there was a picture of President Bush shaking hands with Bono from U2, and mm-hmm. they were doing the secret handshake. And there's even supposed to be secret messages that you can tell, like in your time of need, like an emergency, that you can mm-hmm. say. Because most of these people, because they're all well-known people, they're in the public eye. You know, the bigwigs of the group, they're big people.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of own the cities. They own everything. That's why we say that they're all part of this Illuminati thing, because the Illuminati wants to take, you know, they're the richest of the rich all over the world, and they kind of run things. And we just don't always know it.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's some cool images. Like, for example, there's a picture of Neil Armstrong. And this is a pretty, just Google Neil Armstrong pizza chef hat. Because he's actually in a chef hat holding a pizza, and it's in his kitchen. It's like 1969. But if you look at what the picture is, behind him, there's like a little, you know, these plaques you hang up in the kitchen. It's got a saying on it. But he's blocking some of it, and it looks like it says something to the effect of God doesn't exist, don't get the facts confused, or something like that. And there's also a newspaper right behind the pizza, and it says demon written upside down. Now, they will tell you that these things look like they're just accidents, but the Illuminati and the Freemasons, they know exactly what they're doing, and these things are in there on purpose. While we're on that subject, let's talk about a couple of signs that probably every one of you out there have done that actually comes from the Freemasons and the Illuminati. How many people at a rock concert or what have you have held up the two hands? You know, you held up the hand with the pinky and the forefinger up and mm-hmm. hands down. That's actually the devil horns.
Oh, that's what that is?
That's devil horns. That is a secret sign of the Illuminati. Every time you see somebody doing that, now they'll tell you that it means, you know, I love you. That's a lot of people that hold it up and say, I love you. That's what the common known is, or you'll see people holding up in rock concerts.
Yeah, I've done that 100 times.
Right. That's actually devil horns.
Aw.
And that's actually a supposed to be a no-no. Now, the other one is, and how many times have you seen this? You make a circle with your hand, or with your index finger and your thumb, and the other three fingers are up. That's the okay sign, mm-hmm. right? Okay.
Yeah.
That's actually the symbol for 666.
Get out!
And when you think about it, you're making a six, and you've got two other fingers, which triples it. 666. You will see in a lot of different videos, two people, one of them will hold up that symbol, and one of them will hold up the devil horns. You wow. see it a lot where both of them held together. Those are signs that are out there that you're told means one thing, and in reality it means something else. That's all part of the Illuminati and the Freemasons. They will tell you one thing with the intentions of it being used, knowing that it means something else. But if you're not in the know, you're just going to use something and not realize it.
Yeah.
So that's just some of the symbolism. We'll get into some more of it a little later, but I thought that one was cool. Albert Pike, he was the guy. He was in the early 1800s over in Scotland. He was the Michael Jordan of this. I mean, you look at the way basketball players think of Michael Jordan. That's the way Freemasons think of this guy. At the 33rd what do you call it, Masonic Lodge, where you become the 33rd degree, which is the highest honor. It's in Washington, D.C. That's where you've got to go. You've got to make a large donation that they don't tell you about till you get there. Most of these people have money, so it's not that big a deal to them. But you make a large donation. You can go around the halls. All the halls have pictures of serpents all around it. What's that tell you? Second of all, there's two pictures of this guy, Albert Pike. Like, not pictures of, what do you call them, like busts that are actually made into the wall. I'm going to read you from his book, Morals and Dogma. Now, this is straight out of Albert Pike's book, who was the ultimate Freemason. And I'll bring in, before I even say this, you know who one of the other more famous Freemasons was?
Mm-mm.
Aleister Crowley.
Oh, well, that figures. His dumbass is everywhere.
He is in everything. So this is what it says in his book. It says, that which we must say to the crowd is, we worship a God, but it is the God that one addresses without superstition. To you, sovereign, grand, general, which is the 33rd arc, we say this that you may report it to the brethren at the 32nd, the 31st, and the 30th degrees. Nobody below that. The Masonic religion should be by all of us who initiate at the high degrees, maintained in the purity of the Luciferian doctrine. If Lucifer were not God, would Jesus spread false and harmful statutes about him? Yes, Lucifer is God. Now that's coming from the head talking to people during the ceremony of becoming a 33rd Mason. So think about that. That's just flat up what it said. Now here's Manly P. Hall. He's from the Lost Keys of the Freemason. This is what he said. When the Mason learns that the key to the warrior on the block is the proper application of the dynamo of living power, he has earned the mystery of this application. The seething energies of Lucifer are in his hands, and before he may step upon or move upward, he must prove his ability and properly apply this energy. So then you got two other people, and that was from the, like I said, the Lost Keys, the Freemasons. These are two of the big shots ever, both talking about Satan. Lucifer being the head guy down there. It's pretty amazing when you think about it.
Yeah.
But you don't get this information until you get up to the upper echelon. So when you're at the fourth degree or fifth degree or 19th degree or whatever the case, they're not preaching about Lucifer being a god. They wait till you get all the way up and then say, this is what you got. Here's another one actually from another couple of quotes from Albert Pike. He said, Lucifer is the light bearer. Strange and a mysterious name to give to the spirit of darkness. Lucifer is the son of the morning. Is it he who bears the light? Doubt it not. What they're saying is that all the higher levels of degrees will know, but you can't tell the lower levels because they don't need to know. Most are Christians. They don't have a clue. But they're working still for a Satanistic group. So they're still doing Satan's work.
I mean,
they just don't know it.
I mean, I don't understand that. I mean, what the heck? They have to find out somehow, don't they?
Well,
what's happening?
Well, no, because that's the whole point of it being a secret. Everybody's so sworn to secrecy, everybody's afraid to talk. Now, Jim Shaw, who got to the 33rd degree, he wrote a book called The Deadly Deception. And he busted a lot of these out. He said that when he went back in, you know, that he donated the money, he went back in and they wanted to meet with him. It was a group of guys that met with him. And the very first question they asked him was, what religion are you?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, which was kind of funny, because he said up until this point, he would have said, you know, the ancient knowledge of the Egyptians, because that's what they, up to this point, that's what they've been preaching to us now to 33rd level. He said, but for some reason, he'd been going to a doctor, an eye doctor, and the doctor had been talking to him about Jesus, and he slowly started kind of getting into that.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that when they asked him what religion he was, he said he was a Christian.
Oh, gosh.
And not only that, he asked them if any of them guys had been reborn.
Oh, my gosh. I guess that didn't go over very well.
It did not go over well. And matter of fact, they said, no, we're not here to talk about, you know, that. We're here to talk about you. And so he left and went out there. And then another guy came out and he said, hey, did they ask you what religion you were? And the other guy said, yeah. And he said, what did you tell him? Did they ask if he was a Christian?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, yes. And he said, what did you tell him? And he said, hell no, I'm not a Christian. And I don't intend to be. And they said that he would be moving up the ranks and was going to go places. And he said, then they came and took him to a different door. This is like a 3-day ceremony. The first day he's like checking in. The second day is going through this. And the third day is a dinner.
So what happened to the guy that said that he was a Christian, I wonder?
This was this guy. He just basically said that he went back. Well, he left and went back home. And he said, like, the Thursday before Easter, it's always, like, this special mass.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he didn't realize until he went to do this mass, he'd done it over and over and over again because he was, like, the head guy at this Masonic Lodge. And he said he was going through it. And now every time he went through it and said some of the stuff, it was just stood out to him how wrong all this was. Because he said...
He was finally realizing what was kind of going on, maybe.
Yeah, because at the 33rd, when he went through the ceremony of the 33rd, they all came out in black robes.
Mm-hmm.
They had the pulled over their face where you could barely see their face. They were walked around with people with swords guiding them around. They did the ceremony. They had four holy books. They had the Bible, the Quran, the Book of the Law, Aleister Crowley's book, and the Hindu scriptures. And they told them to kiss the book that meant the most to him.
Mm-hmm.
But then they had a human skull, and they had this drink in it, and they made him drink from it. And they said, may this wine I now drink become a deadly poison to me as hemlock juice drunk by Socrates, should I ever knowingly and willingly violate the same. And then someone dressed as a skeleton came out and put their arms around him. And he said, and may these cold arms forever encircle me should I ever knowingly or willingly violate the same. So basically they're saying, if you ever tell these secrets,
mm-hmm.
It's a death penalty, basically.
Oh my gosh.
They said that all the prayers never ended with, they had prayers, but mm-hmm. they never mentioned Jesus' name. Never.
Mm.
And the praises always would end with, so mote it be.
So mote.
Yeah, M-O-T-E, mote.
What the heck does that even mean?
That's what you turn the TV off with, the mote control.
That ain't what that means.
No, it's just, it's really commonly used in witchcraft, and it's obviously there.
Yeah.
But like, what do you call it? Spirituality dealing with nature, like pagans.
Mm-hmm.
And in reality, that's what we're looking at. So how did the Masons come to be? They became what they are in 1717 in England, and they kind of started up, and they started as a pagan religion, which basically they worship the sun, the moon, what have you, that type of stuff. It all comes because of taking the blood oaths like they do. Like when they put the knife in your chest and tell you to swear to do this and you mm-hmm. got a noose around your neck, that's a blood oath. In the original days, they actually would cut your finger
mm-hmm.
and make you do that, which you see all this all the time, you know, in TV shows and stuff about cutting their finger, doing that. That all came from the Masons. Each level that you go up, they have you worship a different type of god. It could be Egyptian, it could be Persian, it could be Greek. But once again, that's pagan ideology, a worship which goes straight back to the Kabbalah, which is, it's an ancient, I guess you could say, Jewish book that it ties all religions together. It's really not a religious book. It just basically says, do good things and mm-hmm. good things will come to you.
I wonder how early, like, which presidents do you think? Do you think the early presidents were Masons?
Or? I would say out of the 45 presidents or whatever we've had, probably 35 of them at least have been. World leaders, at one time, when you looked at, like Hitler, for example, this is a pretty cool story. Hitler doesn't get much credit, and deservedly so. He doesn't need much. But he knew what was going on, and when he first took control in Germany, the first thing he did, the very first thing, was to wipe out all the Masonic lodges.
No kidding.
Anybody who was a Mason, he had arrested.
Wow.
All of the stuff that was in their churches, they pulled out and destroyed.
What do you call that, a pot black, or what do you say that? Or
pot calling a kettle black?
Yeah.
Okay, now.
I don't understand.
Well, you gotta, if you don't know a lot about Hitler, Hitler's ideology was completely screwed up, but what he thought he was doing was creating a master race by getting rid of the Jews, because he liked the whole... It's funny, he liked the blonde hair, blue eyes, yet he didn't have blonde hair and blue eyes.
Mm-hmm.
He was wanting to create a master race, and he didn't think you could create that if there were people running around that he didn't deem to be part of that race, and that's mm-hmm. why he got rid of all the Jews. So they kind of fell in that category. Now, he actually, when they ended up taking over Europe... Same thing happened over there. They got rid of all the churches. They pretty much wiped out Masonics all through Europe mm-hmm. during his time in there. Now, what they found out, this is interesting. All this damages were done to churches during that time. Catholic churches, Protestant churches, all these different types of churches. And then when they went in through the damage to try to clean up the rubble or fix things, they found devil-worshipping altars and stuff hidden within the church.
Really?
So they were using the churches as a front for this, but in turn, actually worshiping the devil at other times.
Oh my gosh.
And some of these cases, the members of the Masons that were actually doing the Satan worship were actually deacons, or actually the priest or minister of the Christian church that they were over. But they had to create the image to the people that they were great people to get the following, to get what they wanted out of them.
That's insane to me.
It is. So let's talk about some of the symbols. You guys have seen these symbols everywhere, probably didn't even realize they were Masonic. Pull out a dollar bill and look on the back. Left-hand side, you've got the pyramid with the all-seeing eye over top of it. Now, that eye's got a couple of different names. The Eye of Satan, the Eye of Horus. Let's go back to Aleister Crowley. He did the Book of the Law, which he said was spoken to him by his guardian angel, which was Horus, which was one of the gods of Egypt. And that's who gave him that. Well, this Eye of Horus is one of the things used in Masonic Lodge, but they've changed it to become the all-seeing eye of Satan. You see that all the time right over top of the pyramid on a dollar bill. Pyramids were another big thing with the Masons. They like the idea of a whole bunch at the bottom, very few at the top, and that's kind of where a pyramid is. In biblical terms, a pyramid is bad because anything with three points is supposed to symbolize bad. Just like a pentagram, they're into pentagrams. Now, with a pentagram, if one point is up, that means good. Two points are up and one point down, that means evil. That's why when you see Satan worshipers or you see anything to do with witchcraft, it's always the two points up, kind of making the devil horns. What about our microphone? That's not a pentagram.
Oh. Well, there's three things down and one thing up.
Well, then
up.
We have an evil microphone.
Well,
I can't do anything about that.
We got to get rid of it.
It's an evil microphone.
Ew. We have to get rid of it.
Now, let's talk about the all-seeing eye real quick. What the theory behind the all-seeing eye, or the devil's eye, evil eye, whatever, pervade the in most recesses of the human heart and will reward us according to our merits. When it comes to the religion, we'll call it, of the Masons, they don't really have a per se religion, but they also don't believe in what the Bible will tell you about accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. They mock Jesus Christ. Some of the ceremonies they do, they will have like seven candles lit. And, you know, most of these Masonic lodges, they don't have windows. They don't want light getting in. They don't want anybody to see what goes on. So they're in total darkness because that's the way they operate, in darkness. And they will light the candles, and they'll have the seven candles, which is supposed to represent all seven of the major religions. I mean, you've got one for Jesus, you got one for Muhammad, you got one for Buddha, and so on and so forth. And the last one is Jesus, and that's the last one that they extinguish. See, they look at all religions exactly the same. They think the Bible is exactly the same as the Quran, is exactly the same as the Book of the Law. They don't see one being any other. They think, just like in pagan rituals, they see Jesus and Muhammad as equals. They just say they're both people who did good and led people, but that's it. They don't believe in any of them being a god or what have you. Their god is Lucifer.
So they don't believe in heaven?
They believe in heaven, but they believe Lucifer is the god. They believe, but they almost believe in some situations. Some people believe that Jesus and Lucifer are the same person in the way that they do that. It's crazy.
I don't like that.
It's crazy. But let's talk about some of this other symbolism. Let's talk about the G. Everybody's seen the Masonic symbol. It's got a compass at the top, and then it's a G, then it's a square at the bottom.
Yes.
And when I say square, I mean like the little L-shaped tool that you use. Mm-hmm. The G stands for great architect. Doesn't stand for God. Stands for great architect. Who's the great architect? Satan. That's the great architect. That's what he's commonly known as through all kinds of different cycles. The compass, depending on who you listen to, some people will tell you that from the Masonic lines, the compass is to keep your mind focused. Be composed. Stay focused. And the square is to always remember to do the right thing. Now, most people will tell you that who've dug into this, that going back to Egyptian beliefs and these pagan beliefs, it's all about the man. Remember I told you that women weren't allowed in, and we talk about that. The reason men are allowed in, it's all about their pee-pee.
Their pee-pee?
Their pee-pee.
No
vajayjay? No vajayjay. Because it's all about, they think that life, everlasting life, has got to do with the fertility of the man. They used to wear these things almost like aprons made of sheepskin to cover it up when they would walk into the Masonic lodges, and that's why they would did that.
Why? Because they get excited when they seen another Masonic lodger?
Probably. <No. laughs> but that was the reason that they would do that, and they use this symbol a lot. I can't remember the term, opalesque. Or something. It's like, think of the Washington Monument. You know, just the long, straight up point on top. But thin, not like a pyramid. Mm-hmm. That's called an opalesque, I believe is what it's called. They're big into that. That's one of their big things. If you go to a cemetery, you'll see a lot of those with the Mason symbol on it. The Washington Monument is one of them. So one of their symbols is that, and it's all a phallic symbol. It's all representing the penis.
Okay,
because that's the fertility. So basically, men are the reason that anybody exists. It has nothing to do with Adam and Eve. It's all got to do with men. Or what's there, and they'll tell you that that compass represents the man laying on top of the woman, and the square is the woman.
Okay, but without the woman, he's not going to reproduce, so what? I don't get it.
But she's just a tool, according to
standards.
So that's kind of where that is. The other symbolism that I want to bring up, because this is kind of probably the biggest one, is the number 33. They are huge into the number 33. There's 33 degrees. Why is this? Well, this is actually a pretty common thing. They're all into numerology. And the number 33 is the age that Jesus Christ was when he supposedly died. So there's the first thing. It's a mockery of Jesus dying at 33. As a matter of fact, let me tell you how much they are against it. You know, on like when you see the year something was built and it'd be mm-hmm. so-and-so A.D.?
Yeah.
They don't use A.D. They use A.L. It's supposed to stand for Anno Lucas, which means the year of the life, or the year of the light, or the year of Satan, year of Lucifer, A.L. So on all of their, if you go to a Masonic home, it'll have the A.D. for when it was built, but it also have the A.L., which is about a 4,000-year difference, because that's when Lucifer was cast out of heaven. So you'll notice that they don't even like to use AD. That's how far against Jesus that they are.
Terrible.
But they use that 33. They, before they start any kind of ceremony, they take a wooden hammer and they beat it 3 times to represent the nailing of Jesus' hands and feet. There was 3 times, one for each hand and one for his foot. So they hit the hammer 3 times on the table to represent that. Everything they do is a mockery of Jesus. So let's talk more about the 33. But that's the reason that they use that 33, and that's why there's 33 degrees. But also, they really get into it. Like if you look at latitudes and longitude lines, the first Masonic home or Masonic temple built here at the United States was in Charleston, South Carolina, because I was on the 33 latitude.
No kidding.
What's some other important things that happened on the 33rd latitude? The first nuclear bomb in the test sites in New Mexico was on the 33rd. Hiroshima and Nagasaki, both on the 33, when that happened, the nuclear bombs being dropped. President Kennedy assassination in Dallas, it's on the 33rd. So the 33rd keeps coming up, and they have a numerical number for, I guess that's the same thing, a numerical. Yeah. But they've got each name comes up to a numerical amount. They use like so many letters for each vowel and so many numbers for each vowel and so many for each consonant. Mm-hmm. And if your name equals up to 33, they let you go higher in the Masonics because they feel like that 33 is...
Oh, like you're special.
Yeah, like you're special. And you know, this stuff even goes back to the moon landing. Neil Armstrong supposedly, they were doing, when it landed on the moon, they were supposedly doing a Masonic ritual back on before they even got out. There's some people that say the stuff that they left on the moon, like they put the flag up there, but they left some other stuff because mm-hmm. almost like they were looking for something else. But there was a certain alignment, and that certain day they went, it all matched up to what the Masons, all with this 33 stuff.
Well, that is... How is that possible?
It's crazy. It's crazy. And then the other big Masonic symbol is the owl.
The what?
The owl. Like the hoot owl.
The hoo-hoo, hooty-hoo.
Because they practice everything at night, and owl is nocturnal, so that was kind of their thing. But the big one is 33 in the pyramids and the CNI.
Yeah.
If you look on a dollar bill on the back left hand, you've got the pyramid, you got the CNI over top of it, and there's a Latin phrase underneath of it, and that Latin phrase stands for New World Order.
Oh.
That's exactly what it stands for. So even on our dollar bills, which guess who was behind the dollar bill and the only person on the design board that was a Mason? Ben Franklin. Ben Franklin was a Mason. George Washington was a Mason. Thomas Jefferson was a Mason. And if you think some of these people were all Christians, you're completely wrong. Thomas Jefferson hated Christianity. If you really go back and read the Constitutions and the Declaration of Independence and those things that were written back in the day, you know, they mention God, but it's not like the people who originally came over that were so devout Christians that, you know, they based everything on there from the Salem witch trials and everything mm-hmm. else. But
so isn't there something like, isn't there like a red bracelet or red string or something that people wear that's what that means?
Well, that goes back to Kabbalah when we talked about Kabbalah. Kabbalah is, to get a little deeper into it, It comes from Hebrew Judaism, but it's not a book about God. It's basically a book about nature. It goes back to the pagan rituals of the sun can do this, and the earth can do this, and the rivers can do this, and the moon can do this, and it's not God has anything to do with it.
Oh.
Now, if you go back to the Bible's got about 17 lines in it that tell you that not to put anything into astrological signs, that they don't mean anything. They were the heavens and the earth were put there. The planets and stuff were put there to affect weather and change and stuff like that, and not to be used as a forecasting method. Mm-hmm. And that's what this book turns around and does. But there's a lot of celebrities that are into Kabbalah now, which basically says, hey, I don't believe in any type of God, but I believe mm-hmm. in nature.
Oh, okay.
And they wear a red string around their hand. So you'll see several celebrities do that. But, I mean, back in the time, we talked about Hitler. Back in the time when Hitler was doing his reign, you had Joseph Stalin in Russia. You had Winston Churchill in England. And you had Franklin Roosevelt in the United States all coming together. And all three of those guys were Freemasons.
Wow.
So it's, yeah, that's...
Man, it really makes you think.
It's crazy. It's like I said, you know, we let everybody make their own decisions.
Sure.
But I'm reading straight out of the masters of the Freemasons, their book. They flat up say Lucifer is their God. Like I said, Albert Pike is the one that said that they don't tell anybody in the lower parts because they don't need to know. They intentionally mislead. And let's face it, Lucifer is the master of deceiving. That's what he's known for.
I know, but it seems like somewhere in the world that, like us, read about it, and I mean, does people not? Well, I mean, they say they're Masons, right? They don't have that fact. Do
no,
they?
I mean, there's obviously Masons, but they don't know what they're doing.
But
they just think they're doing good, and most of them have the best of intentions.
Well, yeah, but what I'm saying is, like we have read up on some of this stuff, And I just can't believe that other people have not read up on this stuff and know Masons and not said, hey, do you not realize what this is?
Well, they do, but once again, this is why we were talking about maybe not doing a show, because we don't want the backlash from it. You can tell somebody, I mean, how many times have you seen a guy and a girl that she's cheating on the guy, right and left, everybody knows it, and you go to the guy, and then he's like, oh, no, I think you're misunderstanding.
Yeah.
You know, you don't see it when you're in it. You know, some people do. That's how they've tried to, you know, that's why you got people that stepped out and start talking about these things.
Yeah.
But for the most part, people don't want to believe it if they're in it, because they're thinking, well, I mean, I've been doing this for 8 years or 10 years or 20 years. There's no way this could be the case. And that's the way they feel about it.
Yeah.
You know. But, you know, they...
I mean, I sure would never have thought of the Shriners that way.
And the Shriners...
Ever.
And you got to be a 32nd degree, which is like the top
like
of the top
of the,
to be...
I mean, never. Is that why they quit the Shriner Circus?
I think they just didn't like those little big cars.
That's it?
They didn't drive around in.
Oh, well.
I wouldn't wear one of those stupid little hats.
Well, I don't even know what to say about that. I mean, it really makes me think now, because, I mean, like I said, I never would have thought of in a million years anything like that. I always look at the Shriners doing stuff for the good, which they are.
No, I mean, you got Shriners hospitals
and
all that stuff. So,
of course.
But once again, are you going to be able to get people to follow you and carry out your agenda if you're doing bad stuff?
Yeah.
I mean, they're not.
Well...
I mean, the situation in Norway a couple of years ago where the guy went in and killed, like, all those people that were at that little camp, a bunch of kids and stuff, he was a Mason. You know, you got people like Sammy Davis Jr., President Clinton, President Bush, all them guys were Masons, all these big shots. And you got all kinds of celebrities. Jay-Z is a Mason.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you name it, and they're out there. There's a bunch of rappers out there that are Masons. There's a bunch of musicians.
Still to this day, there's no women.
No women.
None. Okay. It's because we're smart. That's why.
I mean, they might be on the cleaning crew.
I knew you was going to go somewhere.
I mean, eventually, them guys are going to need a sandwich. Then what are you going to do? Guys, that's the story. We, as promised, it was our longest show. We hope you liked it. I know it probably wasn't as funny as some of the other ones, but to be honest with you, it's not really as much of a laughing and joking topic as most of them are. I do think it's a pretty serious topic, and I wanted to present it that way. So hopefully you enjoyed it, and hopefully you can spread the word, and you can have a bunch of people tell you you're crazy and shut your mouth, and you got no business talking about it like people tell me.
Well, we'll have what are we talking about next week?
I don't remember. But we are going to do the For Shorts and Giggles this week is on La Llorona. Don't.
I won't. I swear I laugh at that every time you say it. I don't know why.
But we're going to do that one on, and please go to our YouTube page, like us on Facebook, Twitter, blah, 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 blah.
If you don't like us, pretend to like us.
And the iTunes reviews. Thank you. We've got like five really good ones this week. So if you guys can keep getting us iTunes reviews, we appreciate it. That's how we really know what you guys are thinking and feeling. So.
Yeah, we do appreciate it. And it's so good to see those good reviews. I know we've got a lot to work on, I'm sure. We're trying to do better every week. But just keep sending us those responses and keep listening and tell everybody you know, because we enjoy doing this every Sunday.
Yep, and... also, remember to like our Facebook page. We put some cool stuff on Facebook. We do like a scare of the day, which is pretty cool. Sometimes it's a scary picture. Sometimes it's a story, or it's a link to a like the 10 haunted, most haunted places in Connecticut or something. But we also do a funny of the day where we throw some memes or some jokes or something up there that are sometimes paranormal related. Sometimes they're not.
Yeah, funny of the day is usually our faces. So.
And it's usually vulgar. To be honest with you, I don't usually. I'm not real clean when it comes to comedy. And then, like I said, we do updates on the show and stuff like that. Sometimes we'll put a poll or something on there. It's pretty cool. So if you like that, just join that, and you can keep up with the show a little better.
Say that again. It's pretty cool, I guess.
What? That's pretty cool, I guess. another one of my horrible renditions of somebody. But anyway, yeah. So there's that. Don't forget the t-shirts are on the website. That's hillbillyhorrorstories.com. And if you want to help the show out, you can donate there. But like, no pressure.
We love you guys. We just want you all to listen.
Yep.
That's our biggest compliment right there we can get.
People don't realize, and I didn't realize myself, that as we start doing this and we get more and more listeners, Our cost actually goes up for what it costs to have the website up. Not the website itself, but the hosting for the podcast, because they only give us so much bandwidth, and I didn't understand any of that, and to be honest with you, I still don't. All I know is the more people that listen, the more we get charged. So,
and that's still okay.
And hopefully the show keeps getting bigger and bigger where we can get a huge bill every month. So that really don't make sense, does it?
No.
But we love you guys. We appreciate you listening. We hope you like the show. We'll get back to a little more fun ourself show next week, even though I can't remember what the topic is. So that's how in tune I was to this one. But I did post what all the topics were a couple weeks ago on our fan page on Facebook. So see if you remember our Facebook page. One of y'all will probably write me and say, you said it was going to be.
Yeah. Hopefully you will.
But I know we got a bunch of cool stories coming up. We're going to be talking about the Stanley Hotel in Colorado. We're going to be talking about... what else are we talking about? I don't know. I wrote all this shit down.
I know. We got a bunch of stuff. We change our mind almost every week. So
yeah,
we
definitely got the Aleister Crowley show coming up. I put it off this week to do this one instead. And then last week I put it off again to do the music one. So he keeps getting pushed back, but he keeps popping up in every show, so it really don't matter.
He gets on my nerves.
So a little bit. We love you guys. We thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Y'all have a great week.
Would like to thank you folks for kindly dropping in. You're all invited back next week to this locality to have a heaping helping of their hospitality. Hillbilly, that is. Y'all come back now. Here.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. 30% of Americans who are planning home improvements of $5,000 or more will pay for those renovations with a high-interest credit card. That may not be a great idea. A better idea may be to take cash out of your home with a Quicken Loans 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.99%, APR 4.08%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate subject to change. Pay 1.25% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. NMLS number 3030.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Grand Canyon University, an affordable private Christian university, is one of the largest and fastest growing universities in the country, offering more than 270 programs online. In addition to federal grants and aid, GCU's online students received nearly $130 million in institutional scholarships in 2022. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu/myoffer to see the scholarships you may qualify for.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.